begin this afternoon by just saying thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come back and to talk to you, to tell you a little bit about Agape and what's going on with us, and more than that, to tell you about the lives that together we are touching. I'm extremely blessed today to have my wife Amy with me. Also, one of our social workers is here. I need you to get to know her. Brittany, if you would raise your hand up high. And if you are interested at the end of this presentation in foster care, maybe even adoption, if you would talk to her, that would be wonderful. I am going to be very honest, and I will tell you, this is the truth. You might not know it from my looks, but I am the Vanna White of Agape. I stand back and I turn the letters, and I'm simply here to turn the letters, and the people like Brittany and the rest of the social services staff, those are the people that do the work and make things happen. And so today, we are extremely blessed to have her with us. Also, her friend Alan is here with us, and so we want to thank you for letting the four of us come and to tell you quickly about Agape. We do want to thank you for all the different things that you do for us. You bless us in so many different ways. Number one, financially, you bless us, and we are extremely grateful for that. I do need to tell you, I need to ask you to do me a favor. I've already asked, and I think it'll happen, but I need to make sure. I have a really good friend who is not here today. You all have a really good friend who is not here today, Don Williams. Don is in Meridianville watching as his son is installed as a deacon at the Meridianville Church. Wonderful church family there. Don will die. If you would just mention to him that my lesson today was so good that there was just a spontaneous outpouring of lots and lots of money. Now, I don't care if you make up an amount, but you just need to tell him and just look and see, look on his eyes, and then you can just laugh and say, oh, no, not really. But I want you to know, we really do. We appreciate Don and the work that they do at that children's home as well. Wonderful partners with us in a number of different projects. And we thank you for the support that you give us. We thank you for the people that you share with us. I know we have served this family in terms of foster care and even adoption, and we are honored to have been a part of that. We also want to thank you for the prayers that you lift up on behalf of us and on behalf of our partners in child care, like Don and North Alabama Christian Children's Home. We thank you for that. That means more to us. While it's the cheapest and the easiest thing that you can do, it also is the most meaningful. And we appreciate so very much that blessing that you give us. We want to tell you today about our work with hurting children. The work that we do with those children who are less fortunate than many who are sitting in our audience today. We work with children in two major ways, big ways. The first of those major ways is in adoption. That's for more of a long-term care. A birth mother maybe who realizes she's not prepared to be able to give that child the home that she wants to give. And so she would come to us and we'll work with her to find that home. We also work in foster care. That's the short-term care for children who have been abused or neglected. And most of those children come to us out of state care from DHR. But we do occasionally even have a private placement of a child when a family just realizes if we can just have a day or two, maybe a week or two, we can try to get some things back together and we can try to provide for that child. That blesses us in incredible ways. You may not know that we're involved in other works, smaller works, but still very important works. Works like we're involved in birth parent counseling, and we work with birth mothers and birth fathers today. Even today, we are seeing more and more birth grandparents who are involved in that decision to allow a child to be adopted. And I think that's a blessing to those families overall. We work in home studies for adoption, both the adoptions that Agape does and then contract home studies. So we'll do a contract study for someone who's adopting in our state or someone who is adopting outside of our state but still domestically. And we're even involved in home studies for those people who are choosing to go outside of our nation and to adopt. And we'll partner with other agencies and make sure and get those things taken care of in a very, very professional way. People come to us all the time and want those types of studies because Agape's home studies are excellent. And we just don't get kicked back very often by anyone from another state or anyone even from another nation. And so know that that service is there as well. We work with individual and family counseling. We work primarily through Lonnie Jones. I think you probably are familiar with Lonnie over in the Huntsville area. I know that you guys are extremely blessed here to have the Counseling Center, and we love partnering with them as well and sending people to them when we can. Because, again, driving to Huntsville to get counseling, sometimes that just doesn't need to happen when you've got really good quality Christian counseling in your community. We work with reunification services for adult adopted children and now for their even older parents, people who want to get back in touch and just have that yearning to know, do they still think about me? Do they care about me? You know, do they wonder? And so if we can work with that, it's open to both the adopted children and to the birth parents. We'll do our very best to do that. And then finally, we're invested in a partnership with several other agencies, Child Haven of Cullman and a couple of more that work toward prevention of family disruption. DHR will call us and say, you know, we've got this family that it looks like they're about to explode. They're going to lose their children if we don't get some help. And we'll send in one of the social workers from this North Alabama Alliance. Especially here in this community, Agape has a worker, and so we're very honored to do that and to be a part of that. And honestly, success rate of between 80 and 90%, you just can't beat that in terms of social services and keeping children in their own homes. Because really, bottom line, that's what God wants. He wants parents to raise their own children. And if they can do that in a safe and secure environment, then we want that as well. But if not, then Agape is going to be there. When you look at all of those programs that Agape is involved in and you're involved in, by your support of us, I will tell you, we count you as partners. And so we take the input that you offer. We take the reporting process of telling you and telling your elders about our progress very seriously. The numbers of children that we together impact during the course of a year always tops 100. Now, it may be a little higher in foster care one year and maybe a little lower in adoption. Maybe one year it's a little higher in adoption and a little lower in foster care. But those numbers that we touch, always right in that neighborhood of 100. By the time that you add in birth parents, adoptive parents, foster parents, those grandparents we talked about, the reunification services, the preventive disruption services, all that, the numbers that your congregation touches just through Agape. Take North Alabama Christian Children's Home and Child Haven out of the picture. Just through Agape alone can climb into the hundreds and nearly 1,000 each year. You have a huge impact in terms of child care in North Alabama, and we are so incredibly blessed. You know, when you think about that, just take one child into your home, one child, and think about the huge impact that that child has, whether it is a child that is yours or a grandchild that you're going to take into your home. I will tell you, we have seen that impact in a very personal way. Amy and I probably mentioned this last time I was here because I don't very often not mention it to people. In fact, if you ask me later, I have a wallet full of pictures. But about 2.5 years, our son and daughter-in-law decided that they were going to bring into our lives a grandchild. And it's the first grandchild for us, also the first grandchild in Katie's family. You would think that she might be a little spoiled, but Zoe is not spoiled. She's just perfect. And so, you know, we don't have any battle about that. We are extremely blessed. In 2 weeks, in fact, next week, we're going to have Zoe and the people who follow her around and call themselves her parents. They're going to show up on our doorstep next weekend, and we are thrilled about that. Always a wonderful, wonderful experience. Let me tell you a little bit about how this happens in the Holmes's house, because if you're a grandparent, you may kind of have the same thing. When Colby and Katie, who live now in Cabot, Arkansas, get ready to come home, they will call us maybe 2 weeks out, and they will say to us, you know what, we're coming home, we want you to know. And so that's when the process begins. And Amy will go about, she in fact last week went and started to buy the right groceries. You know, we got to have all the right foods for the kids, and especially for Princess Zoe as she shows up. And so then about a week out, you know, I'll start doing things, and Amy makes sure, of course, that not only is the yard mowed, which is kind of my responsibility to make sure that happens, but we've also got clean sheets and the linens are ready and, you know, the bedroom is fresh and all that kind of stuff. So just it's a process. Then Colby and Katie begin to be a part of that process because they'll call us and they'll say, you know, Dad, listen, wanted you to know, we're leaving Cabot now. And so we look at the watch and We time them, you know, for us, about a 7-hour trip. For Kobe and Katie, more like a 5.5-hour trip. But those of you who have gotten a little older, you understand Amy and I go a little slower. We take a few more breaks. And so for us, that 7-hour countdown begins, and Kobe and Katie are going to show up about 1.5 hours early, and we're grateful for every minute they cut off of that. They'll call us, and they will say, just wanted you guys to know, we've gone through the cater. Well, that's a great milepost for us. You know, they're in the state of Alabama. They're gone through Decatur. And about that time, I go out to the garage, and I flip on the driveway lights. I don't know why. That's just the way it happens. And then they'll call us, and they'll say, hey, Mom, Dad, need you know. You know, going through right now, going to pass the bridge. Very short time. I go out, and you know, they cross under 565, and now it's time. Or they're going on to 565, and now it's time for the garage door to go up because the countdown is there. And then they'll text us right as they're about to enter the neighborhood. And they'll say, hey, what'd you know? We're coming in the neighborhood. And so we now have what we've been waiting for. That's kind of countdown at T-minus, and now it becomes official. And Amy and I go out. And we're walking around, and without trying to tip off the other one, we're going to what we call PZV locations. PZV, Prime Zoe Viewing. Because as they pull up into the driveway, we want to be right there to make sure that we see her first and that she sees us first. And so we're getting these positions, and kids pull up, and, you know, they've been driving 5.5 hours, and for us, they step out of the car and they stretch and kind of roll around the muscles, and we don't even notice because the back door is going to swing open in a minute, and that's when Zoe is going to step out. Now, when Zoe steps out, the words that she yells are just incredible. Papa! Mimi! And she runs and she will hug, and that's the best thing that you can have, and I know that many of you understand and appreciate that. When you've had a child away at camp for a week, or, you know, when you've had grandchildren who don't live as close to you as you'd like, and they come home, we all understand that. And that feeling is just, it's incredible. I mean, there's no better way to describe that. I thought, and you can call me silly, but I thought Amy and I were the only people who had ever felt that. I didn't realize that everybody felt that. Funny thing is, that feeling has been around for thousands of years. If you listened to the scripture reading today, the scripture reading came from the book of Luke, chapter 15. We call that the parable of the prodigal son. Other Bibles would say it's the story of the lost son. I will tell you, that is not so much, in my mind at least, the story of a son as it is the story of a father who loved his child. Now, we're going to read that together again one more time, and this time we'll go through the entire parable instead of just that little focused reading on the father. But if you're reading from your version, then you're probably going to go to Luke chapter 15, and you're going to start at verse 11 and read through verse 32. Some things have changed in our lives in the last 2.5 and now nearly 3 years. I have realized, you know, I used to go into churches and sometimes I'd get in trouble. I know you'd never think an executive director would do anything to get them in trouble, but I guess I'm a wild child. I don't know. I'm not sure how a wild child can read the English Standard Version or, you know, the New King James or whatever, but sometimes there were churches who wanted, you know, the NIV, or I even go to a few churches who really, they don't particularly need the Bible quoted. They just kind of like something to make them feel like they had heard the Bible. Well, I was always reading from my text. But then we'll read from something totally different. And I think you'll understand when I've talked about Zoe and the other children, the Zoes who are in your lives, the Zoes who are in the audience with us right now. I'm going to read from a book called The Beginner's Bible. Now, I need to make a disclaimer here, and you need to hear me make that, and it's, I bet, going to be on tape. So I'm going to make my disclaimer. The Children's Bible was illustrated by Kelly Cooley, published by Thomas Nelson, and it's available in fine Christian bookstores everywhere. I do that because I've copied some pictures, and I want to make sure that they get credit for that. But as I read this Bible, I want you to go back with me, and I want you to get the picture of what's really going on. I'm going to start for me on page 397, for you, Luke 15:11. Jesus told another parable about God's love. There was a man who had two sons, said Jesus. He owned a big farm. His youngest son did not want to work anymore. He wanted to travel and have fun, so he asked his father for his share of the family money. The son got the money. He packed his things and left. He couldn't wait to see the world. His family was sad to see him go. At first, he had fun spending the money. He bought expensive clothes and he ate fancy food. But soon, all of the money was gone. He had to go to work, and he got a job with a pig farmer. He was so hungry that even the pig's food looked good. The son wanted to go back home. He said, "I will tell my father, I'm sorry for what I've done. I do not deserve to be called his son. Maybe he will let me work for him." The father saw his son coming down the road. His eyes filled with tears as he ran to greet him. The son said, "Please forgive me, Dad." That night, they had a big party. The father exclaimed, "My son was lost, but now he's found." You know, I don't care what version you use, whether you use a coloring page from the Children's Beginner's Bible, you read from the New King James, maybe you're going to use a portrait from one of the masters, Rembrandt. Maybe you'll use a picture out of a contemporary newspaper. The story is still the same. A son who wants to go home to his father. And the story of a father who dearly loves his son. I will tell you, the greatest verse in that entire story may be the one that we overlook the most often. In my mind, the greatest verse in that story. For me, I'm going to read from the English Standard. It says, "And the son arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he felt compassion, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him." Ladies and gentlemen, this was a father who loved his son. He loved his son so very much. This is a picture, a word picture painted in Luke chapter 15 of a father who waited patiently, but he did not wait passively. Let's not mistake those two things. He was patient in waiting. Day after day after day. The picture is of a father who took his stool and he walked to the end of his lane. He walked to the end of his driveway. And he sat there on his stool where he had a better vantage point to look for his son. And he sat there day after day after day looking, waiting for that son to come home. Because he knew that he was coming. Not any question, not any doubt. The son was coming home. But he sat there and he waited day after day after day, waiting for the son patiently. He didn't wait passively, though. You see, when the Bible talks about the son coming, the story doesn't say, "And the son showed up, and the dad said to the servants, 'Go and wash his clothes and get him cleaned up.'" What the story says is, he said to the servants, "Go and get the robe, go and get the sandals and the ring, go get those things that have been laid out on the bed waiting for weeks, for months, for years. Go get those things that have been prepared for him." He didn't say, oh, and by the way, you need to go to town and see how much you can get a fattened calf for. You see, the word picture there that's already painted for us is that the calf was already fat. And all he said to the servants was, it's time to kill the fattened calf and to have the party. We don't know how many calves that the father had gone through. Maybe it was the first calf the father had fattened. Maybe it was the second. Maybe it was the 15th. I don't have any idea. But I know that the father was not waiting passively for that son to show up. Each and every time they needed to have a fattened calf ready, they began that process of fattening the next calf. Because the father knew his son was going to return. You see, they had built a relationship that was based upon certain things. They built a relationship that was based upon love. They built a relationship that was based upon acceptance. A relationship that was even based upon forgiveness. Forgiveness of not just those minor bobbles that come along. All of our kids bobble things in a small way. So do we. But not just those minor bobbles that come along in life. It was a relationship built upon forgiveness, even of those bigger things that we would call sins. They had that type of relationship. The father loved the son, and the son loved the father. You see, the father had built a relationship so that when the son needed somewhere to go, he had a place. He had a place of safety and security. He had a refuge, a place of protection. And he knew it. At the same time, when the son needed someone to turn to for help, he'd stumbled through and made mistakes, and he needed someone to be there to help him. He knew where to go. He knew where to go. He went to his father. That's the type of relationship that they had. Prodigal son, out, and the father was waiting for his return day after day after day, sitting on the stool, waiting for the child to show up. Same way that Amy and I might go when the call comes. Hey, Dad, we're entering the neighborhood. We go and we stand at the end of the driveway, waiting for that prime viewing location. See, he wanted to see his son. A son that he loved. A son that he accepted. A son that was forgiven. He accepted his son and he offered his son back a home, a place of safety, security, a refuge. Even today, I will tell you, Amy and I are doing the very same thing with our 2.5-year-old granddaughter. We're building that relationship. We're building a relationship where she knows I have someone who is going to love me regardless. I have someone who is going to accept me and support me without reservation. I have someone who is going to forgive me no matter what mistake I make. We're building a home where those things are not just the byproducts, but they're really the hallmarks. They're the foundation upon which every other thing we do is built. That's the relationship that the prodigal had with his father, and it's the relationship that we're building with our 2.5-year-old. As I've thought about the similarities between these stories, I've pondered the question that really kind of serves even as a title for today's lesson. And that would be, who waited the gates for them? Now, I'm going to tell you, I think that personally, this story of who waited the gates for them, for Zoe, that's an easy answer. Her Mimi and her Papa will always wait at the gates for her. In the same way they'll always wait at the gates for her parents. For your children, as I look out in this auditorium today, there's no question in my mind. They know where they can come home to. They know who is a part of their life forever and ever. My question is bigger because I have to apply it to Agape. And the question for me is not just who's going to wait at the gates for my child and for yours, but who's going to wait at the gates for Agape's children. Now I want you to know, I believe that I know the answer to that. I know the answer because you, Florence Boulevard, would not allow me to come back and to talk to you every year and tell you about what's going on with Agape if you didn't know the answer to. If you didn't know that we need to be a part of that answer, I wouldn't be here. If you didn't know that we need to be a part of that answer, Don would not be here on a regular week. But you see, those of us who have to lead these agencies, we know who supports our children. And you're those people. At Agape of North Alabama, we want to build relationships with children between parents, foster parents or adoptive parents, and those children, where it's based upon, those relationships are based upon love and acceptance and forgiveness. We want to build homes that are places of safety and security, havens of protection for our children. And when we begin to ask that question of who's going to be waiting at the gate, then the next question that has to follow up is, if not us, then who? Who's going to take that place? You see, there are children that I care for. If it's not me, then who's going to be the one to teach a 5-year-old child named Davian how to pray? If it's not Amy or it's not Brittany, who's going to be the one to teach an 11-year-old named Jade how to put on her makeup the right way? Who's going to be the one if not us? If no one is standing at her gate today, then who is going to walk Shelley down the aisle when in a few years it's her time and she wants someone there to give her away? If not us, who? If it's not us who steps up and helps Beth after in the weeks after she's had her own child and is transitioning into motherhood, who's going to do that for her if not us? If no one today is willing to sit at the gate with Chris during the times when the colleges close, and I will tell you guys, for some of us, this is a foreign idea. When Amy and I were in school, we went to Lubbock Christian. You know what happened in Lubbock Christian at the holidays? They didn't close down the dorms completely. We had enough students who came in from foreign countries that couldn't fly home that our dorms would allow people to stay. Now, they didn't provide meals, but they didn't lock you out and close the door and say, be you warm and filled. Today it happens. What's going to happen to Chris when the dorms close over Thanksgiving week? Or over the Christmas holidays? Or over spring break? What's going to happen when he doesn't have anywhere else to go home to because he's never had a home? Where's he go? What happens to Ben? When Ben wants to call a dad and for the first time to find out about things like compound interest and balloon payments, and all of those things that come with buying cars and buying houses and all of those other things. If not us, who is going to be there? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you again, I hate this, but Agape knows the answer to that too. And you do as well. We know the answer that if there is a void, evil will fill the void. If there is an absence of good in a child's life, then evil will invade. And so today what I'm really talking about is, will we be that force of good that fills a child's life? One of those children who doesn't have a mom and dad, a grandparent, to back them up and to support them. Will we step up and be those people? You see, I'm going to tell you, we are thankful at Agape for people like that. We're thankful for partners. We're thankful for parents like Dan and Leanne who will literally go around the world to become that parent who will sit at the gate for a new child. We're thankful for partners like Jeff and Kylie who are going to sit at the gate with their foster parents and time after time while sitting at the gate with those foster parents, with those foster children, they're also sitting with the foster parents. Jeff and Kylie take those foster parents, those birth parents, to church with them. They'll go and take the child back for a weekend visit. And when they're ready to pick them up on Sunday, they pick them up at the right time so that they can take these birth parents who don't know Jesus at all, they take them to church with them. All the while they're wanting to adopt this child that they believe that they could offer a good home to, Jeff and Kylie are sitting beside those birth parents at the gate, helping them become better parents themselves. We're grateful for partners like that. We are grateful for partners like Jimmy and Sherry who are old enough to become grandparents and their children have grown and moved out. And you know what Jimmy and Sherry said? We still got some fuel in the tank. And they adopted a sibling group of four and started their family again. Because they knew where there is an absence of good, where there is a void, evil will take over. And they wanted to give those children a home and a family that they could come back to. We are grateful. We are grateful for partners like these. And I will tell you, we are grateful for partners like you. Each and every day, we count our blessings. We're blessed by the fact that you support us in so many different ways. I will tell you that I am grateful today. I am grateful for one who still sits on the stool waiting for me, who is at the end of the lane watching and waiting. I didn't read the end of the story. I hope you'll forgive me. But I think it bears reading at this point. You see, the end of the story from the children's Bible says, Jesus explained his story. God is like the Father. He is full of love and joy when people who are lost come back to Him. Today, I will tell you God is the Father waiting on the stool at the end of the walk for each one of us. Some of you here today may not have ever confessed the name and been baptized in the blood of Jesus. You may be waiting. God is waiting to be filled with joy at your response. Some of you, you've made that turn. You've changed your lives. But somewhere along the way, you lost it. You just lost your direction. It happens. But you want to come home now. God is waiting. He's waiting at the end of the lane, waiting to be overjoyed for your return. Whatever your need is today, men of this congregation are ready to help. I want to encourage you. If you have a need that they can help today, please come as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.